Hello, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm a little broken today. I got a broken wrist, but that's okay because you're here with me on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak Radio. This is your community radio station. Wow, that was good. So, you know, it's that time of the year when I just really, really love Halloween-ish, and it's fall. Finally, the leaves are beginning to change, but something that's not changing is the art scene here in Kansas City. It changes, yes, that's true, but it is a good one. It's a strong art community, and today we have ceramicist sculptor Sydney Ross in the studio, along with the beautiful Ari Fish, who's also an artist ceramicist, and she's also the Kansas City Art Institute academic and career advisor. We also have a couple of folks in here from the Kansas City Voices, Tom Sullivan and Barb K. Roberts. They're going to talk about the latest edition of Kansas City Voices, and it's beautiful. Trust me, it's a very it's a beautiful magazine. And last but not least, we have Julie Valdivia, owner of KC Conjure, and that scamp, that tramp, that wonderful fella, Mark Allen. He's an artist. He's an artist, photographer, designer. And he's just too lovely for words. Also, as a special attraction for the Halloween show version, we have the lovely Michael McGrory, who will come in and just give us some voices. Give us a voice right now, my friend.
Nice to be here with you, my sexy vampire. You look more charming than when I saw you last. Look into my eyes on the radio.
We love this man. Thank you, Michael.
Sexy. You like brown bubbling sugar.
We love that, Michael. So he's going to be on and just kind of share with us his voices and his talent. We're going to talk to him at the last part of the hour. So for now, we've got Sydney Ross, ceramicist, as I said, ceramicist sculptor, and she's going to present her work at the Kiosk Gallery, Structural Integrity, which is a solo exhibition by Sydney, and it features new ceramic sculpture works. And I want to say that Sydney and Ari are both here because the International Sculpture Conference is going on, Intersections and Identities, and they seek to bring sculptors and arts professionals together to discuss the work, practices, and to intersect one another. So that's 3 days of programming that explore new communities and discuss exciting topics in contemporary sculpture. So sculpture.org would be the website for more programming information. So welcome, Sydney Ross. Welcome, Ari Fish.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
you
thanks
bet.
For having us on.
This is a treat, because you're both artists, ceramicists, sculptors. Let's talk first with Sydney about your show at the Kiosk Gallery, because that's a great little gallery.
I'm so pleased. This is my first solo exhibition at Kiosk Gallery, as you mentioned, in Columbus Park. We had the official opening last Friday, but because we have the International Sculpture Conference in Kansas City for their 27th anniversary, we will have extended hours this Thursday and Friday. I'll be there from 6 to 9 p.m. both evenings.
Wow. I think my headphones are cutting out. That is, what kind of work are you showing?
Well, primarily my sculptures are architecturally inspired. I got to say, I've been putting a lot of thought into our current political and social climate. Uh-huh. I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And, strange, huh? How that works.
Can't wait to go.
Yeah, you should really check it out. I'm pretty angry, like a lot of people, like a lot of women. I was thinking as a person, besides voting, besides donating, besides protesting, what can I do? And I thought my work really lent itself to some of the topics that are being discussed currently, and why not, as an artist, reflect that in my work? So this is the first time I've really explored that. It's really exciting for me. So that's kind of what my work's about.
You know, and for our listeners that want to find out more about your work itself, your website, would you share that with us?
Sure. So, it's sydneyross.com. My name is spelled with a C, so like Sydney, Australia, except with a C. So if you just go to sydneyross.com, you can find more images and information about my works. I also am on social media. If you just look me up, again, Sydney Ross, that's with a C.
Well, now you mentioned that your work was very political, and you know, for people that are trying to kind of understand how do politics and sculpture and ceramic work together?
Sure.
Help us fill in some of that.
Well, so I feel like architecture really reflects communities and cultures, and there can be really good things in that way and also pretty bad things like gentrification, the separations of cultures in a society. And so I'm starting to look at that. Also, environmental impacts. I've got a lot of ideas kind of bouncing around in my mind, and this is more of like a broad view of how that impacts communities and cultures and the self. I mean, we all have homes. We all reside in shelters. We go from one building to the next. How does that influence our day-to-day and our actions? I'm trying to think more consciously about how I'm involved in that and what can I do as a person, you know, and how does that influence things.
So. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so now that's going to be running through
November 9th.
Yeah, I have the card right in front of me.
No worries.
Yeah. And that kiosk gallery, hello, Eric. Hello,
Aaron. They're lovely to work with. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. You know, and it's such a wonderful space there in, you know, the City Market area. So, yeah.
It's very intimate, yeah. I think they do a great job really focusing on one artist when they show them. So, yeah.
So now, will this stop at the Kiosk Gallery be a part of that sculpture
The conference. So there's a lot of galleries and art centers in Kansas City right now that have shows that are concurrent with the conference. So we, like I mentioned, we will have extended hours to support that. So this Thursday, tomorrow, and Friday, I will be there holding down the fort, welcoming people in to see the work, to talk with me about things from 6 to 9 p.m., both tomorrow and Friday.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
You know, and this is really exciting to have this International Sculpture Conference here in Kansas City,
really
isn't it?
Yeah. That's something I don't know about you, Ari, but I feel like as a ceramicist, we have a really great community. It's very tight-knit, but it's also very it's inclusive, but it's also very ceramic-based. So I'm really interested in expanding those boundaries, working with artists outside of the field of ceramics.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, what I think is really exciting, and Ari, you can speak to this, is that, you know, going through the Kansas City Art Institute here, they have a world-renowned ceramics program. But I often wonder, or perhaps others do, that once you leave that practice of ceramics and having, you know, access to kilns and potter's wheel and whatever, there are other opportunities outside the Art Institute for people to continue their work in ceramics, right?
So many. It's a community, and I'm sure you can attest to this. It's a large international community, really. Ceramicists support ceramicists in such a positive way. I changed majors from painting to ceramics when I was studying at the Art Institute, graduated from ceramics, knowing that I wasn't going to do ceramics for the rest of my life, but I wanted that sort of camaraderie in practice. Mm-hmm. And through that, I really benefited from the community.
And the discipline.
Yeah.
And that program, for me, that was kind of the biggest thing, was really like, it's like a boot camp, like get
really
your life in shape.
That program, wow, it's really intense.
It is, yeah. You mentioned other communities of ceramics in Kansas City. Belger Crane Yard Studios is a great destination for that.
You and Tommy Frank are going to be back next month.
Yeah, Tommy, my coworker. I'm also the gallery coordinator for Belger Crane Yard Studios, proudly representing.
Russell Ferguson.
Russell Ferguson, Shane Lutz. Those are two KCI people. They have a show on there right now. Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Now, Ari Fish, again, is an artist, and she's Kansas City Art Institute Academic and Career Advisor. And right now, you know, I love this, this little blurb that I included, was that you've been very vocal about the importance of spirituality in your work, also incorporating the aspects of the Bible, Freemasonry, Buddhism, the Tarot, numerology, and astrology into your ongoing temporary temple and prayer robe project series. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I realize it's funny because this whole project, it's a 10-year anniversary of my prayer robe, and also I'm in the middle of this, in the midst of this, doing a 10-year project for 10 temples. And so they all deal with numerology and the steps of life and crises and peaks and valleys that we go through and how that sort of syncs up with numerology. The show I have coming up actually on Friday, opening at the Bunker Center for the Arts, focuses just on robes 1 through 5. So it's a part one of a two-part series. So 1 through 5 robes focus on, they correlate with temples 1 through 5. And so I just completed the 5th temple. And so these robes are kind of to emulate the temple experience, but you can wear it, and you can wear it wherever you go.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Also, I want to mention that Airy Fish Gilded Attrition is on view now at the Kansas City Museum at 3218 Gladstone Boulevard. And that continues through...
forever, hopefully. Well, the wind won't blow it down. I copper gilded trees. The trees there, the front limbs there. And all the limbs that face that point, that point to the river, is a nod to pointer trees or the bent trees that you would find on trails or where American Indians would traverse and say, "Hey, water's here," or "Sacred site is here." And so all the little limbs that point to the river in front of the museum are gilded in copper.
Beautiful.
And so I wanted to do, and that's part of the Every Street is Charlotte Street series. Uh-huh. And so very fortunate to be a part of that. But I wanted to include the community in that space, the museum space, because they are doing a 2-year renovation right now.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Yeah, they were like, "We want you to do something, but we're not sure." And I said, "Well, let me do something outside so the community can still interact with the space."
What a great idea.
Yeah.
I love that. And then the changing room, as you mentioned, is the one-night performance piece by Airy, curated by Travis Pratt for the pop-up art lot that will be held at 7 p.m. October 27th at 3014.
Oh, it's actually going to be at the Bunker. We had to move it. It's going to be cold.
Cold is good.
Yeah.
So it's going to be...
It's going to be at the Bunker Center. I love that space just because they allow me the freedom to do whatever I want within it.
And tell us the address on that.
The address is at 19th and Truce.
Right.
Right there, so East Crossroads.
Yeah.
And so this, again, will be a part of stopping and looking at the work for the 27th International Sculpture Conference, right?
Yeah, so you have a show by Max Adrian and Paige Baltowski there, too.
That looks fantastic.
Oh, my gosh, I know. And so they're both Fiber graduates from the Kansas City Art Institute. Not to be, hey, KCAI, what up?
But
excellent sculpture going on there. And so the changing room is literally a changing room. So people will come and they can change into these robes and look at themselves and the initial reaction of wearing one of these robes, which is sort of an immediate meditation of, wow, look at me. How does this feel? This feels really soft. This feels really beautiful. And so they get to try on all 5.
Well, and as you mentioned, this marks the 10th anniversary of your 10 prayer robe projects.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of the 10, if you could share that with us?
That's it. Zero, mm-hmm. 0 through uh-huh. 10 is me. Uh-huh. Is uh-huh. It, everything is based off of, at least for me in my mind, 0 through 10, you know? And so the tarot, the initial tarot being 1 through 10 or 0 through 10 if we're thinking about the Fool. It's just that sort of the basic increment of math. And then I didn't realize this, having my daughter who's 6 right now and teaching her the basics of math and understanding what is 0. What is 1? What is 1? And kind of going through how does a child learn about math, and that is through 0 through 10. Mm-hmm. Is the basis of everything. And it's interesting to see how she absorbs that.
Do you think that kind of made you rethink sort of, well,
it
obviously,
yeah, yeah,
the number system and, 0 through 10.
Yeah, it definitely, Aiko, and I think we've talked about this, Maria, having children, it really changes your perspective, especially on just how the community interacts with your work, right?
Yeah.
So I now make work for all ages. So I want little kids that's in there trying on robes and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. having fun and getting things messy. And I want everyone. I want all ages.
Yeah.
Over 100, everyone.
You and I have children of the Kansas City Art Institute.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of creepy, but you know, bringing them to the studio,
yeah.
and I actually took a ceramic elective and had my favorite daughter sit on my lap and,
yeah.
you know, play with the wheel a little bit and get her hands all mucky and,
yeah.
and all that. And yeah, yeah, I mean, and even let her weave. I think that's important to expose our children to the arts at an early age,
yeah.
and hopefully that continues, you know, whether it's music, performance, or whatever.
Yeah, so, it's yeah. empowering, and it teaches you to fall down and get back up.
And don't break your wrist.
And, oh, I know. If you could see Maria right now, her little arm is
send
wrapped
money.
Up, her wing.
No, can't do that. Well, I want to thank you so much, Ari Fish, for coming in, and Sydney Ross again.
Thank you for having
yeah,
us.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. This 27th International Sculpture Conference, Intersections Plus Identities. It runs from October 25th through the 28th. And for more information, the website is
sculpture.org.
Good. Excellent.
They keep it pretty simple, which is great.
We got that a long time
ago. They sure did.
And then you can see Sydney's work at Kiosk Gallery.
That's right.
And that is at 916 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And you can find more information through their website.
Yeah. It's actually kioskgallery.com, or you can go to my website, sydneyross.com. And again, I'll be there this Thursday, Friday evening from 6 to 9 p.m.
Good. That's great. Ari Fish will
Hi.
Be at the Bunker this
yes.
weekend for a one-night performance, and that address is
19th and Trues.
Yay.
It's right there in the corner.
And did you share your website with us?
Oh, yeah, airyfish.com.
And congratulations yeah. on the KC Studio magazine.
Thank you.
That's really
yes,
lovely.
That's me. My students are like, wait, is that you? That is me. Mm-hmm. That is me in full regalia.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Maria.
Come back and see us,
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this.
Yes.
Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, or if you're online, KKFI.org. Just wanted to play a little bit of Vince Guaraldi music by Chick Corea, the Great Pumpkin Waltz, because it is that time of the year, my very, very favorite time of the year. Also, one of my very favorite things to do is host ArtSpeak Radio, and glad you're tuned in today. Tom Sullivan and Barb K. Roberts with Kansas City Voices are here. They're going to talk about the Writer's Place, the launch of the latest edition of Kansas City Voices, which is a full-color art and literature magazine, and that's going to take place September, October 28th at 5 o'clock here at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania. Now that I've said everything, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. You know, Kansas City Voices is just really a beautiful magazine, and it's filled with so many wonderful stories and images and original artwork. So let's talk about the Kansas City Voices. What will we see in this edition?
Okay, this edition, this is, you'll see 50 contributors. We have poetry and prose, including both fiction and nonfiction. We have fine art in full color, and there's a nice variety, I think, of different styles and types of pieces, both in the writing and the art. It's very eclectic. It's very kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Part of that is we don't ask for any certain genre. It's completely open, and the submissions are given blindly. So our panels of readers and artists who choose the work have no idea whose work this is. It's a nice, fair, open system. It helps get new people published,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things we're always really proud of with this magazine is that we help, you know, get the new upstart artists and writers their, in many cases, their first publication. And that's, I think, a big part of the mission here. We are a nonprofit organization. It's Whispering Prairie Press, which if you want to learn more, it's wppress.org. So you can read all about us online. And we are an all-volunteer organization, which I think lends a lot of value to what we're doing, and that, hey, we're doing this as a labor of love here.
Yeah, there's a commitment, there's a passion.
Yeah, at the same time, it does give us a lot of challenges as well, as you folks at KPFI are well aware.
Yes, we're all volunteers here, so we're kind of in the same boat in that we need one another, we need the assistance of the community, we need the support of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's something I've think is a great value for me as far as like volunteering here is I'm finding a community in literature and the arts.
Oh, yeah.
That prior to these last couple of years I've been working with the Whispering Prairie Press. I didn't see that much of it because it's easy to let it just slip on past mm-hmm. you if you don't go mm-hmm. out and reach out and grab it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Barb K. Roberts, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with the Kansas City Voices. And, you know, this is, as I mentioned, it's a full-color art and literature magazine. And so the latest edition is going to be sort of launched at the Writer's Place, right?
Yes, at the Writer's Place this Saturday, so please join us. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. This will be my first launch party. I joined the Whispering Prairie Press Board in January, and I am so honored that you allowed me to serve on your board. My background is in nonprofit development, and I am a writer. Also, and a member of the Kansas City Writers Group, which founded Whispering Prairie Press about 15 years ago. That's how I heard about it. What an amazing organization. And as Tom said, you know, we are all volunteer-led. We don't have any paid staff members. So it does have challenges, but it also unique opportunities for everyone to get involved, meet more people in the arts community, and to showcase our local talent. We have, of the contributors, almost half of them are from the Kansas City area. So it's amazing what talent we have in Kansas City, and we really want to promote and showcase what special, artistic, creative people we have in our community.
You know, you're right. I mean, it's not only just the writing, it's a visual too, right? And so At this launch party, you're also going to have some back issues on hand of volumes 11, 12, and 13, just in case folks have missed them, right? Mm-hmm. So, now, where does one find your magazines? Where can they pick them up? Do they have to subscribe to them?
They can order them online at wppress.org. Mm-hmm. We are going to be looking at getting them into some retail spaces here in Kansas City, hopefully soon. But for now, it's online. Order them. Or you can show up at our event and pick them up in person.
I love that. You know, if you just tuned into Art Speak Radio, I'm talking to Tom Sullivan and Barb K. Roberts with Kansas City Voices, talking about the latest edition in the launch party of Kansas City Voices at the Writer's Place this Saturday, October 28th, from 5 to 7. Do people need to make reservations, or can they just sort of drop in?
No, it's an open event. Hopefully it'll get crowded, but hopefully we still have enough space for everybody. It's a very big venue. So it's open, free to the public. We will be having a raffle, so if you want to bring a little cash and help us to raise a little bit of money, that's great.
We were talking about that, Tom, because this is your moneymaker for the magazine, right?
Yeah, it's hopefully it should help in any case. We do get some grant funding. We've been funded this year with the Missouri Arts Council and also Arts KC. So we're very glad to have that help from the local organizations.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Jessica Connolly.
Yes.
Because she's leaving the staff.
Jessica's been our managing editor for the last five editions of Kansas City Voices, so she's been a real force in this organization for a long time. So we're going to be sad to see her go, but she feels like it's the time to launch new things.
Yeah.
I know right now she's working on a novel, and she's actually at a writing retreat this week.
Bless
her
heart.
So hopefully she's getting lots of good writing. Right
now. We wish her well, Jessica Connolly, and she's been on the show several times, and we love having her, as well as Kansas City Voices. You have a copy in your hand. Did you want to read a piece from this edition? This is actually volume
14.
14. Yes, because after 13 comes 14. Oh, Maria. This launch party will be Saturday, October 28th, 5 to 7, at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania here in Kansas City, Missouri. They're just right around the corner. It's a great place for writers and people to get together.
Okay, Sophie, I'll just go ahead and open it right up to our very first piece. This is a piece called This Is Your Life by Ryan Yarber. The other kids won't consider your feelings when they ask where all your hair has gone. But when you tell them you are from the future, they will be jealous. They won't believe you at first, but they will, one by one, as you recount your story, the story of your life. You'll speed through the cool stuff to make it seem trivial, like how your first kiss is in middle school, and it will be with Jessica Marston, who luckily isn't in the audience. Or how you get caught one night in high school, driving to a girl's house at 3 a.m. You won't focus on those details. Instead, you'll concentrate on why you chose to come back. You'll tell them that, in the future, there is a medical procedure that makes you live forever, called chronostatic rejuvenation. But you will be too old by the time it is available to have it yourself. Then you will proceed to describe your work that helped discover the procedure, about when you worked as a theoretical physicist for CERN, focusing on time travel by singularity. They will latch onto the words time travel because those are the only words they will recognize. The stubborn one, Nick, will ask why you're still a kid if you were old when you traveled back in time. You will answer in a tone implying the stupidity of the question, a technique obviously passed down by your father, that your consciousness traveled back in time to your earlier body. That is the only way to travel in time because it doesn't result in there being two of you, thus eliminating any chance of paradox. A side effect of the transfer of consciousness explains why your hair fell out. He will nod, acting like it is an obvious explanation. The proof is evident after all. No one will disagree because no one will admit they don't understand. You'll bring the story home by explaining that, since you couldn't be immortal, you chose to relive your life a second or maybe third time. You'll tell them you can't remember exactly what number it is to add both flair and believability. They will walk away stunned by everything you have and will experience. They will believe your story so thoroughly that none of them will believe your parents who tell them the real reason you stopped coming to school. They will believe you have already been recruited by MIT, as you told them you would be before the end of the year. They will believe their entire lives because it will be easier than the truth.
That's terrific. I like that. You know, when we were talking in the green room earlier, I know one of the visits that you had on the show, we had talked about the Teen Kansas City Voices magazine. And so that came out.
Right. So this spring, we published the first inaugural edition of KC Voices Youth, which featured the work, both poetry, prose, and fine art, of area high school students. And we were just bowled over by how good some of those pieces were.
Yeah.
Some really great, original, fun stuff. Some of it very challenging and in your face, too, which I appreciate as young people.
Yeah.
So that was just a great success. We sold the physical copies of the magazine out. We do have a digital edition available. Uh-huh. So, again, you can learn more about all of our projects at wppress.org. And this is going to be our plan for next year, is to do a volume 2 of KC Voices Youth. Mm-hmm. So the plan will be to expand to a wider net of local area high schools and to get a lot of people involved and find and it's another way that we can build a community with what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah.
This was something that a longtime board member, Janet Sunderland, worked on for a lot of years, was to try to get a youth program going. And this last year, we finally finally saw some traction in that regard. So I know she was just thrilled. And we're thrilled with this coming year to hopefully keep it going.
Terrific.
And we are excited. As I said, when I joined this year, they started the Tien City Voices Youth magazine, and we also, the regular magazine, so two magazines in 1 year was a lot, and we want to keep building off of that, so we really value our volunteers and our supporters. So if anybody is interested in volunteering and joining the call to help continue to support the literary and arts in Kansas City by joining our board and volunteering, we please encourage you to do that. We also encourage you, again, to come to our launch party, and we will have back issues of that and current issues of the magazine to purchase I think also what makes us unique, and as a writer, I can empathize with this. So many times the contest, you have to pay a writer's a fee to join,
right.
And I understand why they do that, to help it sustain. However, we do not charge any fees for people to enter, and in fact, we pay our artists and contributors when they are in the publication. And for many of them, it's the first time that they have ever received an award for this, or a monetary award. So it means a lot to them, and it means a lot to us that we're able to do that. But with that, we really rely on our supporters to help out.
Sure, and that they could respond for with any of that through your website, right?
Yeah, you can go to wppress.org. Also, the email is info@wppress.org. So you can reach out to us if you're interested in becoming part of the community. Over the last couple of years, I've been volunteering with this group, and it's been fantastic. I've met so many wonderful people and also learned a lot. Now, that was a big part of it for me, as I work in as an editor, and this was another chance for me to learn different aspects of the publication process and to broaden my skill set. You know, so if you want to learn and you want to have a career in the arts, This is a good venue for that.
Very good.
It's very nice, and you're with kindred spirits. Sometimes, you know, you might feel, when you're writing, and as Tom and I were talking, you know, so much with the electronic age, we can write from home, and we might be in our home all day long or for a couple days and not see anybody. It's a good way to get out and meet others in the community and share experiences and learn and grow from that.
Very good. Thank you so much, Tom Sullivan and Barb Kate Roberts, thank you so much for coming in and talking with me today. I know you'll be back, right?
Yes, we will. I'd love to come back.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. And, you know, we're going to be right back right after this. right after this.
When did you guys have a call for submissions?
Well, probably...
This is Margaret Hamilton welcoming you back to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio, Maria Vasquez Voice. I'll get you, my pretty, and Art Speak Radio, and the voodoo voices of all of my witchy friends.
Yikes. Oh, that is the lovely Michael McQuarrie. Thank you so much. Everyone's cracking up here in the studio. He's like, I can't get your breath. Oh, thank you so much, Michael. He's just a doll. He's a man of a thousand voices. Next up, we have Julie Valdivia, who's the owner of Casey Conjure, Kansas City's full-service hoodoo, conjure, and voodoo shop. They carry spiritual candles and oils, waters, herbs, curios, statues, and more. She's here in the studio, along with the incorrigible Mark Allen, who is an artist, photographer, designer, and social media guru. He's here. And we're going to talk a little bit about astrology, tarot, and all things spiritual. So welcome, my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
You bet. So, you know, Mark, when he was here last time, he made a very important announcement. Would you share what's going on since you were last
here? I have been called into politics, and I'm running for city council.
We love that. Clap, everyone, clap.
Thank you.
Yeah, so good luck with that, because, I think you mentioned last time we need some young blood.
Yeah, I feel Bernie inspired a lot of young people into politics, and I feel like we're feeling a lot of frustration with the people who are in power currently, and I feel like it's, you know, you can't just complain about it. If you have the capacity and the willingness to put yourself into that position, you can make even more direct change, especially with people who are behind you, supporting you, and what you.
Well, yeah, I remember the saying, you know, back in the day, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And I think that's sort of that mentality that you follow in terms of, you know, getting involved, right?
Yeah, and screw Trump.
Oops. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Maria.
So this has got to be a very busy time for you, right?
It is.
Why is it so busy?
Well, actually, it's a very busy time for me the entire year, but it seems that more people feel like the veil's becoming thinner at this time of the year, so a lot more people will come. But actually, it's like, that's my life, 365 days a year.
I hear it. And, you know, we're going to talk about horoscopes and all that, because right now we had a shift, right?
Yeah, just recently. Really big shift.
And what does that mean? And tell us about the shift, Mark.
Which shift are you? Well, there's two big shifts. Yeah. There was the great solar eclipse, which affected everyone in the United States, and I think we're still seeing the ramifications that it has had on our country, just geologically, unfortunately.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And Jupiter has just entered Scorpio. Jupiter goes into a sign every 13 months or so. And so it just transitioned from Libra into Scorpio just a few days ago, and the sun just entered Scorpio on the 23rd. And so we're in for a really big Scorpio season, and Halloween and Day of the Dead is all that Scorpio season, which is all about regeneration, death, you know, the veil being lifted and whatnot. We're going to see 13 months of this very intense spiritual energy, people who are going to have crazier dreams than they've had before, strange coincidences, visions they can't explain, events they can't explain.
But if you're not paying attention to it, does it, you know, will it make a difference in people's lives? Because I know for me personally, you know, when Ari was here, she talked about 10. Well, I'm looking at 11. It's always 11-11 or the 11th this or the number 11 for me is sort of that. But for most people, it's like, meh, it's the number before 12. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important too because numerology and astrology are different, but they're two systems that we're all a part of. I mean, you can't escape the fact that you have a birth date or that your name has a numerical significance. So that usually people's numbers are usually affecting that as well. A double number is more of an angel number. It's more of a message from like a spirit or a relative who's shown you something. But if it has to do with your specific number, it's a little bit more significant to you. Whereas astrology, I view it as, I mean, I used to live by the ocean and the waves are dictated by the moon. And so we're seeing the direct influence of this small satellite and its gravitational pull and its effect on us. And each of these planets are having a strong gravitational pull and they're affecting us in certain ways. And it's very subjective because it's a very old art and people have been looking at the stars for thousands of years and there's not like the energy you can work with either way. You can surf the wave or you can dive straight into the wave to avoid the wave, or you can try and go against the wave and get slapped in the face and knocked down. So I feel if you are more aware of it, you can use it to your advantage. And whether or not you are aware of it or believe it, it's still, you know, going to affect you in a certain way. The full moon still causes spikes in hospital visits and, you know, it's...
And police often share that, too. You know, they have maybe a much more marked activity of craziness happening, you know, during the full moons and that, right?
Yeah, and the moon's the fastest moving satellite, so it's like a magnet that's kind of channeling all the energies that are outer. So that's why the moon has such a strong connection to us. It's affecting us the most directly, but it's picking up on all of these energies that are already out there too. And they're more subtle, but I've learned after looking at it for 3 years, there's definitely patterns you can notice.
Now, and I want to ask Julie, you know, she is the owner of the Casey Conjurer. Do you have classes? Do you have information? Do you have workshops for people who are interested in learning more about astrology or voodoo and spiritualism?
So not astrology in general, because that's not my thing.
Okay.
Though with this last eclipse, like Mark was saying, I have seen a huge uptick in clients coming in saying they're not feeling right. Ever since this eclipse, something's not quite right, and they're trying to find their way. So I feel like a lot of people are working against that wave and trying to find their way. As far as classes, I do offer classes. We did one a couple of weeks ago on voodoo doll making, even though we don't really use voodoo dolls in voodoo. Another one a lot of people like that I need to get set up and going is how to set an ancestor table and start serving your own ancestors, because many cultures do this.
And
a lot of people and a lot of people want to, and they don't really know quite where to get started. So occasionally we'll do that, or we may do a class on working with certain saints. and
so
forth.
You should do a Lenormand class.
I have done Lenormand classes.
She's
in the
a very
past.
Good Lenormand card reader.
Oh, wow.
That's
wow.
a difficult one.
Why is it so difficult? And tell us what it is. The...
Well, Lenormand is similar. It would be similar to Tarot. It's a 36 okay. card French reading system made, I think it was Madame Lenormand. And it's just a difficult class to teach. I think even though Lenormand's meant to be read in a sentence and very straightforward, I read more intuitively. And so it would be difficult to teach somebody how to read intuitively.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, you know, you're talking about the ancestor tables and all that. Of course, my birthday is November 1st, November 2nd. Can I remember? Which is Dia Los Muertos. And so for me, that is familiar within my culture. But I think people are beginning to understand that it's not just this tradition for, Latinos. You know, it's something that you can bring into your home and, you know, sort of honor the dead and your ancestors that way.
And so in the shop, what I like to do around this time of the year, and by the way, happy birthday, fellow Scorpio. Mine's coming up Sunday.
Oh, yay.
What I plan to get going here, I typically do every year, is build a community ancestor altar in the shop. And so my space is a little small, and I invite people of the community to bring pictures and offerings, gifts, candles, whatnot, of deceased loved ones. I ask absolutely no photos of any living people on the altar.
Why is that?
There's just a thought that maybe if
I get you, but I just wanted to put you on the spot.
I hate when you put me on the spot. But, my thought kind of on that, and I think a lot of people are, sure. is that this is to honor the dead, and we don't want to really be putting living people on there as they may want to pull you over there with them. Not that they mean harm, you know.
Sure.
But we just don't do that. So I'll be constructing that soon. People can stop by and, like I said, bring photos, flowers, offerings, and we typically do that every year.
Excellent. Now, what do you both have coming up for Halloween? Do you celebrate it any differently than what most people do with the dressing, dress up? And, of course, I know we're all too old to go trick-or-treating, but, I mean, do you celebrate any differently than most people, you know, taking their kids out to get candy and this and that? Is there anything different?
I like to always have a little get-together with friends around Halloween because it's kind of been a tradition because my mom's a big hostess, and she would always have a Halloween party, and all the neighborhood kids and everyone would.
And you give readings.
Well, no, my mom is very against that, so that's not.
I remember because when you came, when you were designing the tarot cards,
people were scared of it. Yeah. People don't understand. It's all, you know, all archetypes. It's all the same system. It's a way of, because there's so much happening all around us at all times, and our brain is abstracting everything into more concrete, simple symbols. And the more you understand the archetypes of these symbols, the more you're able to navigate life, I feel, from a more wisdom standpoint. But it freaks people out because for the longest time, the church and the religious hierarchy has told people, don't trust your own intuition, don't trust your own power, give it all to us.
Yeah,
we will make you safe. Don't, you know, because I don't think... There's power when people aren't using their own power. But for Halloween, the 28th is going to be a really intense night. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm personally going to Boy Boy's altar space Halloween
Love
party.
Boy Boy.
They got an art grant from Rocket Grants, and they've been putting on these installation parties, and they've been amazing. So I'm excited for that.
I've seen the photos. And
so fun.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
And Volpe's Bastille is going to put on a Halloween party on Tuesday night. We're going to have tarot readers and astrologers and some bobbing for apples and make masks and music and stuff, just a chill kind of art-related, art and craft related evening.
And how about you, Julie?
So typically in Voodoo, we celebrate on November 1st with a fete called Fete Gede, and it's to celebrate ancestors and the dead in general. A lot of people are familiar with the colors of black and purple and Baron Samedi and Mama Brigitte. Typically, I'm down in New Orleans this time of the year for this big fete, and this will be the first time, I think, in 10 years that I missed this fete.
Oh, wow.
I've decided to stay here.
Yeah.
But that's how we kind of celebrate, is by having a large... fete would be a party, like a large celebration, a voodoo celebration, to honor them. Lots of cigars and alcohol and whatnot going on.
That sounds like fun. I'm going to be watching Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin, with my with Trudy Pickles and Winnie Belladonna. No, who knows? Who knows? But, you know, it just seems like a magical time of the year. Even as a kid, I could just sense that there was just a shift, not only just in the weather, just in my mental, you know, sort of awareness of, you know, what's happening, you know. One of my favorite times of the years, yeah. So, Mark, you know, you are really into astrology,
mm-hmm.
and is it something that has been sort of been a growing interest to you? Have you always had sort of this, but just never really developed it? What
I've always been interested to some extent, but like I said, I grew up in a very conservative Christian household and uh-huh. went to a very conservative church as well, so all things dubbed occult was, but I've always been interested in the stars, always been interested in constellations. That's always been something intriguing to me, I believe, because it's been something a part of many incarnations of my lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that, because astrology is something that's been true through, I mean, thousands of years. Every culture has developed a system of stargazing to some extent.
And how does that figure into your work? I know, as I mentioned, the tarot cards that you were designing, how does that, does it figure into your work, you know, photography or sculpture or any of that you do?
Is I think it's interesting because the transit of Jupiter is very important to me because Jupiter and my sun are exactly conjunct, which means they're in the exact same place in the sky when I was born. And a natal chart's the kind of scope of where all the planets were at the time of your birth that kind of give you a readout of yourself as a personality and how transits will affect you personally. And it's interesting because the transit of Jupiter has been very important for me, and that's I first got into astrology really when Jupiter was entering Leo, because that was my first big transit that I was like, oh, this is going to bring a lot of good things to me. And that was 2014, about the end of 2014. And that's when I had my first big show at Blue Gallery, and then had a big show in LA, and like I had all these opportunities, a lot of big expansion for myself personally. And it was interesting because before that, the Jupiter was in Jupiter was in Cancer, which is the last sign for me, since it's called the 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
It's before, which is all about death and self-undoing and whatnot. And that was at the time I was doing my body bag series.
Yeah, I remember.
So even
that,
though
yeah.
I wasn't working with astrology, I feel like that definitely was, you know, I was, you can still intuitively work with astrology whether or not you understand what's going on anyway. So I feel like my art has always been influenced by that. And especially now that Jupiter's entering Scorpio, I feel spiritual concepts are going to be much more important for people in the coming 13 months, because it's all we have now.
Yeah,
I mean, we've really, with this terrible, awful, bumbling idiot who is supposed to be leading our nation is triggering everyone and causing so much stress that I feel, you know, the spiritual concepts are the only things that we can really cling towards, because they're the ones that are going to tell us that it's going to be okay eventually.
Yeah.
Like, we're in a very difficult time right now, but we can use this energy to regenerate ourselves and to really, you know, the symbol of Scorpio has many different meanings, and people associate it with the scorpion, which is very fierce and poisonous, but there's also the symbol of the phoenix, which it burns itself and then rises from the ashes again and again. So it's that symbol of regeneration.
Well, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, Mark Allen. The incorrigible Mark Allen. I love you, Mark Allen.
Incorrigible.
And Julie Valdivia, owner of KC Conjure. Thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you so much. We'll be back, I'm sure, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And let's talk about bringing someone back, that Michael McCrory, because you guys...
Wait, sing him happy
you
birthday.
You love him.
I'm going to sing you happy birthday because you asked for it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear spiritual power voices of all the dead and battle of everything. Happy birthday to you.
We love our Michael McQuarrie, a man of a thousand voices.
Westboyd, look into my speaker. Look deep. Deeper.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't.
Bye, ciao. Happy Halloween.
Thank you so much, hey friend. I love you too. I want to thank Mark Allen, Julie Valdivia, Sydney Ross, Ari Fish, Kansas City Voices, and Michael McQuarrie, of course. We love you, love you, love you. And next week, 11-1, which is Dia Los Muertos, All Saints Day, we're going to have Maddie Rhodes, Jenny Mendez, the gallery director, also from the Nelson Atkins Museum, Sarah Schmiedler, and also filmmaker John Brick will be on the show. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger. And I have a feeling Barry Jackson might be filling in for him. Don't know. But we love you. Stay tuned for Jazz Afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I want to say our podcasts are up on Friday. Download them. We love you. Like us on Facebook. Honey, I'm coming home.